His books can be found on Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble's. Let us give a raucous welcome to Reverend Dr. Ray.
Can you hear me now? Oh, there we go. So what I was saying was, I feel like I should start off with a little bit of a warning, since there's some folks from Boston and Connecticut and, you know, visiting from the first time. That, how many, raise your hand if this is the first time you've seen me. Oh! Oh, wow. I think you're just gonna have to go for the ride. So, and when I say go for the ride, basically what I'm saying is, I've got to the point where it's time for us to up-level new thought. And that means we have to stop with the metaphysical bypass and malpractice, and it's all love and love is all there is. And like, we have to move past that, right? And one of the reasons why I've got to this point is, so Thanksgiving used to be one of the worst times in my life growing up. The vast majority of abuse and trauma that I experienced growing up happened at the time of year that we call here in the United States of America, Thanksgiving. And it's very challenging to say, thank you, God. The God of my understanding at that point was the Christian God. But thank you, God, that at this point right now, my mother has a knife to my father's throat. And at any moment, she will begin throwing whatever is in her hand at the rest of us at the table. Yay, food, let's eat. Like, it's very challenging to engage in Thanksgiving when it's a time of fighting. But that's because at that time in my life, I didn't understand that gratitude and Thanksgiving is unconditional. Like, okay, so we understand that, because we talk about love, and we understand that there is love that is based on conditions, and then there is love that is agape, that is love without conditions. It just loves because it is. Which one of these is what is showing up as us? That which God is, and see, here's the other thing. We are still generally referring to that which God is as this outside power and presence. But what do we say? There is only one power and one presence, God the good, omnipotence itself, omniscience itself. Omnipresence itself. It is all there is. A circle whose circumference is nowhere, whose center is everywhere. Therefore, everywhere you are, the center of creation is. There can be nothing outside of God. That's a basic New Thought teaching. There can be nothing outside of it. The universe exists within that which God is. It's all God, and it's all so, because I hear people say this sometimes, be grateful for all things. But what was the passage we read today? Be grateful in all things. Be grateful for all things. Be grateful in all things. So you're telling me be grateful for all things, and I should be grateful for the fact that I was abused and molested and raped and traumatized and PTSD, etc. I should be grateful for that? No. But I can be grateful no matter in the midst of. Right now, my mother is experiencing this thing called Alzheimer's, and I should be grateful for that? No, but you can be grateful in. Meaning, be grateful that right now, someone in the family is taking care of her. Be grateful that right now, that you and she reconciled all of that abuse and pain and trauma and became friends. And in that, you can be grateful that while this is the experience, it is still possible to be grateful right here and right now. Why do we say thank you? Someone opens the door, thank you. Do we say it simply to be polite? Because when we hold the door for someone and they say nothing. Did I just hold it? No, you didn't just walk away. Come back out here. Open the door yourself. Like, we feel insulted when people do not express. What does God have to be thankful for? See, there's a difference between giving thanks and saying thank you and being grateful. This I can choose. I can choose to say thank you. I can choose not to say thank you. Choice. If what I am being is gratitude, given flesh, then it's what exudes from me. To the degree that even when, has anyone ever looked at you with a look and eyes and a smile, and you knew that they were grateful for what you did, what you shared, what you sang, what you spoke, what you played, whatever it was that you gifted, you saw the look on their face and they said not one word. In that moment, they were exuding, they embodied, they were grateful. Full of gratitude. They were thankful, full of that which is the experience of thanks. And in that experience, in embodying, then they, of course, they're going to give it. So now they are thanksgiving. Now they are giving the very thing that they are. And yet, the challenge for us is, well, But there's so much in the world that's going wrong. Is there? Because if what we're talking about is God, then there is no judgment of right or wrong. There is that which is effective or not effective. There is that which is life-affirming or that which is less than life-affirming. But it's not going wrong. Because then somehow it implies that somehow there can be something that can exist outside of the power and the presence of that which God is. God is doing wrong. God is acting wrong. When we do not know, cannot embody, do not understand, have not the awareness of that which God is, then we are going to act from that level of consciousness. So if I go up to Nelly, even though I'm sure Nelly would be like, what? But if I were to go up to Nelly and say, then, you know, Nelly's going to embody the spirit of Bruce Lee and put me in my place, right? But in that moment, when I am doing this, somewhere in there I have forgotten that that which I am is God. And in not realizing that what I am is God, I have forgotten that I am love given form. That God isn't just some spirit or power in me. That God isn't some spirit or power that moves with me. That God isn't some spirit or power that acts on my behalf. But that which it is all there is, and it is showing up, incarnating itself in this human form. There can't be God and this flesh suit called gray. There's God showing up as this flesh suit called gray. And this flesh suit is made up of that which God is. Like, even if we go to the anthropomorphic God of the Old Testament, in the beginning God created, and there was light, and God created the earth and the heavens, but God created it out of what? God didn't go to Home Depot and say, can I get 100 billion tons of mountain and trees? I'm building a planet. God created it out of itself, which means what it is still God's stuff. So if that which it is has made of itself and is everything and everywhere, then right here and right now, accept and marinate in how blessed and how holy and sacred it is. And loved you are, that which created the universe chose to create a portion of itself as you right now. That the entirety of the universe has to be conspiring for its own good as you. Because what like we even say in the Bible, you know, you cannot serve two masters, for you will love one and hate the other. Well, that implies that, well, if the universe, if God, if spirit is not conspiring for its own good as me, then somewhere there is a force conspiring against me, which now means there is God and. And there is no God and. There's just God, period. So if there's only God, and that's what you are, sacred, holy, exactly where you are right now. Meaning, you don't need another class, you don't need another book, you don't need another degree, you don't need another lesson, you don't need another coat, you don't need another pair of shoes, you don't need another earring, you don't need another something, 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 someone, something, something. You get my point? Right now, you are whole, you are perfect, and you are complete. Even when life shows up externally and sometimes internally in ways where discord and disharmony and dis-ease show up. That cannot change the truth of your being. Meaning, what is this?
Water.
And water scientifically is what? H2O. So if I take some dust and contaminate the water, have I contaminated H2O?
No,
because that which is H2O remains untainted. That means even, and this can be purified so that the contaminants can be removed. H2O as a power, as a principle, as a scientific fact, cannot be touched. That which God is cannot be ill. That which spirit is cannot be sick. That which the universe is as a power and a presence cannot experience discord, disharmony, dis-ease. It can't. But we experience it for whatever reason. We're not even going to get into the what's and the whys, because that sends us down a rabbit hole of blame and guilt and shame, because sometimes we go into the whole thing of, well, if you change your consciousness and then you start thinking different thoughts and you start doing different things, then the world will show up differently. It's because it's in your consciousness. What are you praying about when you, and what are you watching on the news, and why are you? See, this whole thing that I've been talking about recently, especially as we move into 2020, is asking folks, is your spirituality relevant? And I'm not saying is New Thought relevant, because if New Thought wasn't relevant, I wouldn't currently be the senior minister of CSL Greater Baltimore. I wouldn't be practicing this thing called New Thought. I'd be doing something else. I don't know what it is. I might be taking swords and daggers and turning them. I don't know what I would be. But it sure wouldn't be this. But because I know that this is relevant as a teaching, it has saved my life on more than one occasion. Currently, when I do experience that thing called depression, the thing that pulls me back, breathe, and recognize that this breath, this body is intelligent enough to breathe, that I don't have to breathe it. That means something greater than I is breathing itself as me. I don't have to worry about where the next breath is coming from. I don't have to try to control the last breath. Just breathe. Just be breathe. And then I'm back. Is your spirituality relevant? Meaning, are you employing the tools, the techniques, and everything that we learn in New Thought to make everything in our lives spiritual practice? See, because once again, if we're going to be grateful, then, and it's unconditional gratitude, then we should be grateful while sitting in the truck in traffic.
Right.
Now, the thing is, and we laugh because we're like, silly minister, you stuck in traffic. You're made grateful for that. But what if I said, well, who here really doesn't like traffic? Come on, be brave. Okay, so I'm gonna pick on the two gentlemen right there. So, you're stuck in traffic. 5 minutes, what is your level of anxiety? 25 minutes. Ooh, oh, you got other people moaning for you now. You're stuck in traffic now for an hour and a half. Now, what if someone said at the end of it? So I'm going to tell you this. So I'm going to stuck them in traffic for an hour and a half, simply because I know that Oprah is going to be where they are getting off the train or getting out of traffic, and I want them to meet her. Would that change anything? Would you be grateful to be sitting here like, oh, I know I'm gonna be Oprah. Yes. How much longer? I still got half an hour. Like, you're happy now. You're happy now. Why can't you be happy nonetheless, in spite of? Because if what we're saying is the entirety of the universe is conspiring for its own good as me, then me being where I am by my declaration makes it the right and perfect place. There is no outside God's will choosing to, when I elevate my awareness. One of the things that we say as the vision statement at CSL Greater Baltimore, creating, manifesting a world that works for all. One life-affirming thought at a time, one life-affirming word at a time, one life-affirming feeling at a time, one life-affirming action at a time, and one life-affirming interaction, person by person at a time, is how we change the world. One life-affirming thought at a time, one life-affirming word at a time. One is all it takes. One drop of water, one drop of water, one drop of water, one drop of water, and soon one drop of water makes it overflow. All it takes is one. But if we are going to step into this thing of making ourselves spiritually relevant, then it means elevating our practices so that washing the dishes becomes a spiritual practice and being grateful that we have dishes to wash, because there are many on the planet who don't. Being grateful that we have something to go on the plates to make the plates dirty in the first place. Instead of fussing and cussing, I hate washing these dishes. I don't know why I can't get these kids to wash the dishes. That's why I had 15 kids to have the kids wash the dishes and make me wash these dishes. Do they think I am? Just saying. The challenge is we as humans feel so much angst and inner conflict that we don't really allow ourselves to be bold, audacious, and unapologetic in our spirituality. That's why we're not really grateful to the degree that, you know, what we're talking about. That's why, as a culture, it's like, okay, January. Save it up. November. Okay, February. You can tell people you love them by flowers and chocolates. That's now. Okay, March 8th. Okay, celebrate the birth of Jesus and him dying and coming back from the dead. That's okay. November. Now you can be thankful. Get some turkey and cranberry sauce. Now, December. Nope, thanks is over. Be grateful and see what you do at Thanksgiving is someone gives you a gift. It's $50. You have to give them something of equal or greater value. Because if you give them something of lesser value, or like they gave you a $3,000 something or other, and you give them something that you made in crafts down the street, they're going to look at you like you're crazy. And you don't want them to look at you like you're crazy. So we're in this game of one-upmanship. Of I have to balance and change and mold my life so that I fit in with culture and society. Rather than being bold, knowing that every step you take, by your awareness of it, becomes hallowed ground. Knowing that everything you touch, by your awareness, has now become sacred. Meaning, when you go, and I've said this before, when you go to the grocery store and you reach up to get a box of cereal, well, we know cereal's down here where the kids can see it, actually. But you reach up here for whatever you're reaching up here for, and you get it, and you pull it down, and you're like, this isn't the one I wanted, and you put it back. You have now set into motion the very atoms and molecules and particles of that box or that bottle because God has touched it. Wade in the water, wade in the water, children, wade in the water. God's going to trouble, meaning God is going to touch it, God's going to vibrate it, God's going to move it. And then when others touch that troubled water, they are healed by it. Why aren't we troubling more stuff? And I love that word, troubling, because we often think of, don't get in trouble, young lady. Stay out of trouble. I can tell by the look on your face, the way you're looking at me, you're trouble, young man. That's the way we see trouble as this bad thing. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King caused trouble. Mahatma Gandhi caused trouble. Mother Teresa caused trouble. But we like to be comfortable. We like to be at ease. But if we are going to transform our lives in ways where we embody gratitude, not just as an attitude. How many of us last night went to sleep and woke up and looked in the mirror and realized we were black? like somewhere over the nighttime we forget. Like, I went to sleep. Scott, I went to sleep. Listen here. I went to sleep and I woke up. I looked in the mirror. Here's a black man looking back at me. Come on now. We are in these bodies and embody them. They are a part of us. But we don't think about who we are until we have reason to think about who we are. We don't think about the knees until they ache. We don't think about the ears and hearing or eyesight or whatever until it's... What in the... We don't think about it until now there's a shift. It's like, oh, it's less than, There's a song, Big Yellow Taxi, and it talks about the people not appreciating the trees until the trees are gone. Why can't we appreciate stuff while we have it? Appreciate everything in this moment, not appreciating the pain and the trauma. And yes, now, let me put this out there. There is an element of spiritual practice where we can, like, for example, I have gotten to the point where I have reconciled and made atonement, at one-ment, with the idea that I was abused, traumatized, and raped as a child and a teen. And I've made peace with those who beat me and abused me and hurt me. A couple of them I've spoken to not too long ago. I do not suggest this for everyone, because there are moments where we're still triggered. But what I'm saying is, I know that it is possible to get to the other side of that where and be at peace. But what I'm saying is, for the majority of us, and even me with certain other situations, how can I, in this moment, feel gratitude? How can I let that feeling of gratitude well up in me so much without needing something else? Just feel it to the point where it becomes me. Meaning, right now, how many dog people in here? You love dogs? Okay, what I want you to do is, just for a moment, think about either your dog or a nice little cute puppy playing on the ground, chasing a ball, and runs after the ball, and it trips, and it rolls over its own head. So some of you giggled and smiled. That didn't just happen, right? There is no dog, there is no ball, but you saw it clear enough in your mind's eye that you felt the humor well up. You don't need anything external. The entirety of what God is, the entirety of the power of the universe, and all that it is right where you are. There is nothing outside of you that you need because you're it. Why not allow, therefore, then to be grateful for everything you choose to be grateful for? Do you know there's a passage in the Bible where it says that you're supposed to pray as though you already have?
Yes.
So really, you're not praying for to get. Because if I'm praying for something up, dear Heavenly Lord, wherever it is that you might be right now, oh, it's me. Dear me, God, I'm praying for, but I have water. Why am I praying? But I have it. How am I, whatever. Thank you. If you already have it, then the prayer, therefore, is a thank you. It is a feeling of gratitude. There is no need to then ask for, but it's now a declaration of what truth is. And many, because I can see the look on some of your faces, you're like, but Reverend Ray, but I don't have it right now. So I understand the metaphysical stuff about it, but I don't have it. When a child asks mom, can I have that bike? You know, the one that I showed you online the other day, can I have that? And when mom says yes, and you know mom's yes means yes, in the same way that her no means, didn't I say no? Like, we know. So when she says yes, I know the yes is yes, but she says Christmas, it's July. But she said yes. And what do the kids do? I got a bike. Like, they already started, it's July. But they have, in their minds, I know I have it because mom said yes. Why don't we bring back that childish part of ourselves, that playful part of ourselves, that part of us that knows there is no limit to what the universe is, the part of us that believed that there was some fat guy in a red suit that came down the chimney and left gifts. The part of us that when Charles Fillmore talks about imagination as a power of God, imagination. Neville Goddard says that imagination is God. That imagination is another name for God. Why don't we allow that power and that presence called imagination to come forth? We see it as being childish too much. It's time. Bring it forth. Be gratitude. Bring it forth. Be full of gratitude. Have not just an attitude, but embody what it means to be grateful, whether someone says thank you or not. I am grateful that I was able to be here to hold the door for you, whether you appreciate it or not. I appreciate being here. When I bring this, whether you appreciate what I have served you or not, I don't need your thank you for me to do acts of kindness. I do acts of kindness because what I am is love and light embodied, and what love and light embodied must do is serve and be kindness and be joy in action, and for that I am grateful to serve. When do we get there? Day by day, thought by thought, word by word, feeling by feeling, action by action, and one human interaction at a time. Amen. When we run across those, and we will, who think opposite, who want to ridicule or condemn or hang us, set us ablaze, or whatever, they too must be God if God is all there is. So in that moment, be grateful for your awareness that this being is God, and they don't know it, so I will know it for them. Be grateful that your awareness of what light is, that your awareness of what truth is what's changing the vibration of the planet. That you're able to touch a box of cornflakes and heal the mother who then touches the box of cornflakes for her children. That when that box, which you have given the vibration of love and light and Reiki and whatever else you've been put in it, that when she serves it to the kids, kids don't know what they're eating, but they're eating the love that you deposited on it. That they don't even know why they're in a good mood. Now, I don't want to go to school. I love school, Mom. There you go. That they have no idea why. Mom's like, what in the, I need to go to Unity in New York more often. When do we shift it? So if it's okay with you, I would like to, before I do the meditation, is it all right if I pray with us?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So let's anchor in this moment. simply feeling the inhalation and exhalation that I spoke about. Not trying to force it or change it, simply letting the body's intelligence breathe. Recognizing that in this breath, that which the universe is breathing itself as each and every one of us. We simply allow it and surrender to it. And it is in this place, from this place, at this place of surrendering and allowing that I speak what I know. Ernest Holmes says in The Healing Anatomy of Prayer, God in me, as me, is me. God in me, as me, is me. And knowing that that which God is me, I start this prayer at the end. Amen. Amen, that I have so much to be grateful for, that the number of sands on every beach, on every part of this planet, are not enough to be truly a measure of how grateful I am. Amen, that I know that right here and right now, these words are not simply the words of Raymond, but that they are the words of the infinite I am speaking through itself and about itself. Amen, that I know that everyone in this room is that same power and presence that is the I am. Amen, that I know right here and right now, lives are transformed because that which God is as love and light and joy and magnificence itself is making itself known as the very universe itself conspires for its own good to demonstrate how much God loves itself as every one of us. Amen, that we are whole and perfect and complete. Amen, that this time of year and every time of year is reason to be thankful and grateful and to be givers of thanks. Amen, that in this moment, what I know is that when this service ends, that which is the power and the presence of love and light and joy and magic, imagination and infinite possibility is the same power and presence that walks us, that breathes us, that moves our hands, our lungs, our hearts, our vocal cords, our eyelids, makes hair grow. It is the truth of who and what we are, from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet, from the surface of our skin to the deepest particles of quantum matter and energy. It's all God and it's all good. Amen. Amen, that I know that this word is surrendered into the infinite law, the law that says yes. God says yes to itself always. Yes. And I surrender this into that yes, knowing that before service started, that which God is said yes. That as these words are spoken, that which God is says yes. And that after this prayer and after this service, that which God is continues to say yes to and from and through itself as each and every one of us. Amen. Amen, that I know that this is already done in the mind of God. If it is already in the mind of God and it is already done because there is only one mind, that mind is God's mind. That mind knows and is powerful and is wise. And that mind is my mind right now. And what is true for me is true for everyone in this room and everyone watching on Facebook and everyone who watches the video later. It's all God and it's all good. One life living itself as us. Amen. And knowing that this is the truth, I surrender it, saying, and so it is. And together we, as a beloved community and congregation who know the truth, declare this truth by saying, and so it is. And moving from this place, we ready to move into meditation? Yes. We anchor in further and deeper, continuing to breathe, continuing to know, continuing to allow that which spirit is, that which love is, that which joy is, that which it is to embody itself in every part and every manifestation and every demonstration of all that we are. So that every person we see and everyone who sees us sees the face of God. That everyone we touch and everyone who touches us, whether handshake or hug, high five or fist bump, everyone we touch and everyone who touches us touches that which is love and light. that everyone that we speak to and everyone who speaks to us hears and feels the very vibration of the universe resonating and aligning in that perfect chord of infinite possibility and creation. That right here in this breath, whole, perfect, and complete. Right here in this breath, grateful and thankful, and one who is a giver of such thanks. Giving thanks without condition, but simply giving it because it is who and what we are. In the same way that we give light, in the same way that we give love, in the same way that we give laughter, in the same way that we embody that which it is, and we breathe. Taking this awareness, taking this truth, taking this heightened level of recognition into the silence, letting it fill every part of our being, every cell, every muscle fiber, every bone, every atom and molecule and quantum particle and wave. Recognition. I am that I am. And we breathe.